You get those people that come in, you know, and they go, well, you know, what should I do if, like, a UFO lands in my backyard? That's easy. Get back on. And I wonder how many times you sit there and you spend all your time worrying about junk. There's somebody here worried about the concentration camps. Oh, good night, man. They've had them things for 30 years. They've all been remodeled. They got mauve and blue. They got ducks in the kitchen. Man, we can go now, okay? It'll look nice. Now, you'll enjoy it now. And people, what I'm saying is this. If you're going to worry, the Bible gives you the guidelines by which you should worry. And we're going to look at those things. There are several things that if you're going to worry, if you're going to think on things, then the Bible gives you the guidelines by which you should think on them. It says this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, finally, verse 8, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? All right? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? What sort of, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, then look what it says. Think on these things. So God gives you a guide by which to worry. So all we're going to do tonight is we're just going to take some subjects and we're going to see if they are worth our time. All right? They're going to see if they're worth worrying about. So let's bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord. Father, it is good to be saved, God. And Lord, you know, a lot of these folks haven't even thought about it. But they haven't even worried about dying in a long time. Father, once you get saved and you got heaven, Father, we pillow our heads with peace. God, all over this city tonight, people will pillow their heads scared to death of dying because they either don't know where they're going to go or because they do. But Father, we have heaven as a home. Now, God, I pray, Father, you'll deal with the hearts and the minds of the people that are here tonight. I pray, God, that you'll speak to them, and I pray, God, that if they're going to worry, then they'll worry, they'll think on the things that you desire. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Now I got a couple of things that we're just going to run a checklist, all right? Now if you're going to think on something, you're going to sit around your house and think about it. That's what worry is, right? I mean, you think about this. How many things have you worried about that never did come about? Isn't that right? I mean, you said, you know what I was worried about? You know, they brought the new $100 bills, and I thought they're going to be, like funny money. If you ever go out of the country, Philippine money, and it's all different colors, looks like Monopoly stuff, and it didn't come out that way. Now, I don't care. You say, well, it ain't worth anything anyway. That's right. I don't care about it. What I'm saying is there's a whole lot of things. You know, I thought they were going to get rid of them, maybe go to a cashless society. We haven't done it. But they're on the way. Yeah, God forbid you don't worry. But we're going to look at some things, and what we'll do is we'll just check it off and see if it's worth thinking on them. All right? Real good test. Try this one. Jesus Christ. All right? Now, should you think about Jesus Christ or not? Well, let's check it out. Is Jesus Christ true? Oh, yeah, man, he is true. Is he honest? Yes, he is honest. He is just. He is pure. He is lovely. He is of good report. There is virtue in him, and there is praise in him. Is that not true? That's a home run, folks. Let me ask you a question. Why haven't you been spending your time thinking about him? Why don't you sit down during the day and think about Jesus Christ? Instead of worrying about your next rent payment, worrying about the gas mileage you're getting in your car, worrying about the fact that your mother-in-law is threatening to move in, worrying about the IRS auditing you, why don't you sit down and think on Him. I mean, think on Him. I mean, think about the fact that He deals with us. Think about the fact that He pays attention to us. Think about the fact that He loves us.
Amen.
I know what some of you say. Nobody loved you. You know, you grow up in these families, say, you know, my father didn't love me. My father didn't love me. He really did not. It wasn't, he didn't hate me. He just didn't love me, man. Say, why? He had good taste. That's why. And your father probably had good taste, too. That's why he didn't love you, all right? But, man, here you sit now. You've got somebody that loves you now, and He knows you. You know what the book says about Him? The book says that God committed His love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. Why don't you think about somebody that knows you as well as you know yourself and still loves you? Listen, bud, I know some of you don't tell anybody you play the lottery. But if you ever hit it, you're going to get a lot of friends. I'll never buy that stuff, you know. And my wife said one time, said, you know, your luck, if you bought a lottery ticket, you'd win the $14 million. She said, if you won $14 million in the lottery, nobody'd have you in to preach. I said, if I won $14 million in the lottery, who cares? I said, I win $14 million in the lottery, I might start calling preachers and say, hey, I'll give you $10,000, let me come and preach. And we want some convictions fall like house of cards on that one. What I'm saying, people, man, there's somebody that knows everything there ever was to know about you. I mean, if the person sitting right next to you right now knew about you what you know about yourself, they'd move over. And it's not that they're better, it's just that they would feel better about it. You know why? Because there's only two kinds of sin in the world. The sins you brag about and the sins you're ashamed of. Some of you guys, when you were lost, you did the same thing I did. You sat around a bar over a draft, and you bragged about your sins, and all the time you were bragging about your sins, you knew things about yourself. You didn't want anybody at that table to find out about you. Listen, not only would they not love you, but when you looked at yourself, you couldn't even love yourself. Isn't that right? Now listen, man, at the moment that you could not even face yourself and love yourself, He loved you. Now think on Him. He is true. He is honest. He is just. He is pure, lovely, of good report. He's got virtue in Him. There's praise in Him. People, you may spend your time thinking about something. Think about Jesus Christ. I must try this one. War. All right? We're going to think on war. We say, what kind of war? Well, name one. I mean, there'll be one. You know, there'll be one coming up. Right now, our military is wargaming against Iran. That's what they're watching. If we get another big war, it's probably going to be with Iran. All right, well, let's face this. War is two. I mean, you'll pretend there ain't no war. If you're going to pretend there's not going to be any more war, listen, man, you're going to hurt your back standing all day long with your head in the hole in the ground. All this stuff about world peace, there'll be no world peace. So war is true. Is war honest? No, no. Is war just? Oh, no, no, no. No, there have been some things happen in war. Listen, we've not always lined up on the right side. So war is not just. War is not pure. War is not lovely. I mean, listen, I know, you know, when you're 18 years old and you're a guy, you want to kill everybody. I mean, just, you know, let's, you know that old statement, you know, kill them all, let God sort them out. But, you know, after a while, you get to the point where you just don't want to go blown away everybody. It's not lovely. It is not of good report. There is no virtue. I mean, here's a lot. There might be some courage. There might be some outstanding things in war. There's no virtue in war. There's really no praise in war. So you get one. It is true. But beyond that, man, it's empty. Why would you sit around and worry about a war? Now, I did not say that you cannot consider them. In other words, like I just said, maybe we will be fighting a war in Iran one of these days, one of these years. Maybe we will see it. What I'm telling you is the Bible said you should not think on it. You can have the thing go through your mind, you know, you can't keep it from happening. But what you do is you look at the thing and then just say, you know what, I'm not going to sit down and worry about that. And I'll tell you, you know where you start worrying about it at my age? I'm not worried about being drafted. I'm worried about him being drafted. I'm worried about my other son being drafted. I'm worried about the youngest one being drafted. I'm worried about, you know, listen, I don't want to raise three boys so that some stinking flag-burning president can send them off and get them killed on a whim.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
But you don't think on it. And if all you're going to do is sit around, you know, and you start thinking about war, you know, and you start thinking about, you know, we'll stockpile food and we'll stockpile guns and we'll stockpile ammunition. Yeah, the only problem is most of you brag to your neighbor about it. You know what that means, don't you? The day after the war starts, brother, you're going to come home from work, find your wife and children dead and all your food gone, and the neighbor's going to say, gee, I don't know what happened. Let's look at something else you might think about. Oh, here goes, it's a good one. Politics. All right? Politics, is it true? Yeah, it's true. To ignore the fact that there are politics is to be totally dishonest. Let me say this, to ignore the fact that there are church politics is to be totally dishonest. I've always said this, there's not a Bible college in the country that has a course on church politics. There's not a church in the country that doesn't have it. Isn't that right? So it's not, I'm always talking about the Washington politics. I'm talking about the ones that go on in church. You know, you say, what's that like? Well, you want to watch two godly women come to church the same day wearing the same brand new dress.
Oh, that's nice, dear. Too bad they didn't have it your size.
And then they start. They start talking about, you know, this and that. You watch a bunch of guys trying to be deacon and watch how they rip the throats out of each other. You watch somebody's kid get to do a special and somebody else's kid not get to do a special, and you watch mama go home and get on the telephone and start spreading prayer requests. All right? So, politics are true. Politics honest? Come on. I mean, if you think politics are honest, buddy, they're still feeding you out of a bottle. All right? And if you're over 18, I know what bottle. Are they just? No, they are not. Are they pure? No, they are not. Are they lovely? No, they are not. Are they of good report? No, they are not. Is there any virtue? No, there is not. Is there any praise? No, there is not. I was talking with my son. You know, you remember the Nixon. Many of you remember the Nixon administration. What a setup. You know, Nixon didn't break into Watergate. I don't think he ever had the plan. He just found out about it. It was Gordon Liddy. If you ever read his book called Will, which should have been entitled Won't. All right? Because if there was ever, it's one thing to be stupid, it's another to be proud of it, and that's G. Gordon Liddy. Now, I'm glad he's conservative and everything else, but if you read his book, man, I mean, this guy was stupid and proud of it, and the whole Watergate fiasco was G. Gordon Liddy. And the only place that Nixon made a mistake was when he found out about it, rather than run these guys out on a rail, he tried to cover it up, and he lost the presidency over that. But when everybody knew he was going to lose the presidency, you know what they did? They realized that if Nixon resigned, you know who's going to be president? Spiro Agnew. And Spiro Agnew was a true conservative. He really was. And so you know what they did? They railroaded Spiro Agnew out of the office of vice president, inserted a liberal Republican named Gerald Ford. Then when it was safe to run the president out of the office, they ran Nixon out of the office, and we had the first non-elected president this nation's ever had. Well, second. George Washington was not elected, all right? But the fact is this, people, that's not lovely, that's not pure, and no virtue in that kind of junk. But why do you dwell on it? Why do you think about it? I know what you think. You think the same thing I think. If Clinton was a conservative Republican, hey, you'd think he'd be getting away with Whitewater and Paula Jones and the campaign fiasco and all this junk. You'd think he'd get away with that junk. Not in your life. You know what he did just before the election? I mean, you talk about a win-win situation. Before the election, he went out, it was like September, and he went out and he stole, for lack of a better word, he set aside 1.7 million acres as a protected wilderness in South Utah. Now, if you've ever been in South Utah, man, it's pretty wilderness. Now, I'm not sure that, Holiday Inn was going to, airdrop a hotel right in the middle of South Utah. But you know why he did that? You say, yeah, he did that to get votes out of environmentalists. And he got them. But you know what else he won on that? Do you know what is under South Utah? The world's largest deposit of low sulfur coal. Isn't it funny these environmentalists are all worried about burning coal and it hurting the polluting the environment? Well, if you want to burn coal that doesn't pollute the environment, the only place you're going to get it is South Utah. But since that's been closed off, they can't get it there. So now the only other place in the world that you can get it is Indonesia, and it's owned by the LiPo company, who is John Huang, or Hong, or whatever that guy's name is, and it's Clinton's boy. So Clinton not only made points with the environmentalists, he got probably a check under the table over the whole thing. Now, is that virtue? No. Now, I'm telling you the facts. Here's the problem. You start dwelling on that stuff. You start thinking about it. You know, I talk to some of the brethren, and sometimes the brethren are real stupid. Because here's what they say. Oh, let's just get guns. We'll go to Washington. We'll throw the bum out. You know what you think? You talk revolution. You think election. See, you think you're going to go up to Washington with some rifle in your hand and run the president out of the White House and insert the guy you like? You think the liberals in this country would allow that to happen? Do you know who the first casualty is of any revolution? The Constitution. Buddy, once we turn to a gun to put the man in office that we want, I don't care if he's conservative, I don't care if he's liberal, I don't care if he's Republican, I don't care if he's Democrat. Listen, people, that is not the way it's done. I know it still sounds pretty insignificant to tell you to get out and vote, but get out and vote, all right? That's the only way you're going to do it. My vote don't count. Yeah, I know they run either an old Bill Clinton or a young Bill Clinton, because that's what they did for president last time. I mean, Robert Dole was an old Bill Clinton, and young Bill Clinton, he was just, either way, I know it's a lose-lose situation, but people, the answer is not get a gun and run up to Washington, D.C. and throw the guy out. That is not going to happen. And you start thinking that stuff. You start thinking that, you know, you're going to disappear into the mountains, and hey, don't you understand that we now realize neither one of those scenarios work? You know the two scenarios, don't you? The first one is the bunker mentality. Oh, we'll just get our guns, we'll get 10,000 rounds of ammunition, and we'll hold them all. They own the tanks. Your gun against that tank will go plink, 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 because that's the sound they were making when they drove into Waco and burnt the place to the ground. Not only do they own the tanks, they've now proved they will use them. Right? So the next one is, okay, I'll go up in the mountains. I'll disappear. That's what Randy Weaver tried. And they came up and blew his wife's head off while she was holding her 8-month-old baby, and the next day charged the baby with conspiracy to commit murder. They murdered his 14-year-old boy. You know what you can't do? You can't run, and you can't hide. I'll tell you something else. You're going to spend time thinking on it and worrying about it, you'll go crazy. Let's try this one. Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Fashion. They say, why you say fashion? Because more of you caught up with it than admit it. You say, what's fashion? Well, fashion is when you got to be in style. Fashion is when you got to be on the cutting edge of whatever is new, you know. You remember when pork chop sideburns were in? I wonder how many of you guys had them. You know, sideburns went down to here. And then I'll tell you exactly what I think happened. Some barber was cutting some guy's hair, and he hiccuped. And he took this guy's sideburn right off here, just clean off right here. And then he said, you know, the newest fashion in California is to cut sideburn off straight. And I know that you're a man on a cutting edge fashion, so I just naturally go, oh, yeah, thanks, Bill. Everybody walked around with it. Is fashion true? Yeah, there's fashion. No doubt about it, there's fashion. Is it honest? No. Is it just? No, it's not. Is it pure? No, it isn't. Is it lovely? No, it is not. Is it of good report? No, it is not. Is there any virtue in it? No, it's not. Is there any praise? No, there's not. Don't spend all your time trying to stay in style. Don't spend your time being politically correct or any other kind of correct. Now look, ladies, get mad at me. All right, get mad at me. I wonder how many people right here, if we go to your house tonight, your interior decoration is mauve or blue, and you got geese in the kitchen. Now, before you come up to me after the service and say, I had them first, lady, I've met you 6 times. On 6 different occasions, I've had a lady come up to me after service and say, I was the first one to have geese in my kitchen. We better watch where you step, that's all I can tell you. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having geese. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having mauve and blue. I'm really not. Here's what I'm asking. How did an entire nation arrive at the point where they all liked it at the same time. You don't suppose someone's leading you around by the eyes. I'm telling you, listen, I tell folks, you know what a four-letter word is? Let me tell you, I'm going to say a four-letter word. Cute. I hate cute. I mean, it's got four letters. I hate cute. Man, listen, everything is cute. Listen, they could make a boa constrictor crushing a baby rabbit out of porcelain, put a smile on the boa constrictor's face, and everybody, isn't it cute? Everything's cute. There's the cute little porcelain skunk, and the cute little kid in the swing, and the cute little pig. And the, I mean, pigs. Cute pigs. Oh, yeah, you know, I got rid of the geese, and I've got pigs in my kitchen. I'm proud of you. But they're what? They're cute pigs. You want to make $1 million? Make anything, make it out of wicker or brass, make it heart-shaped, put a mauve or blue ribbon on it, and put a sign that says, country welcome, you'll sell everyone you make. I've said this, I'm gonna make somebody, somebody's gonna take me up on this, all I ask is give me a cut when you strike it rich. Remember Jocelyn Elders, that bozo, one of many Clinton's bozo friends, and Jocelyn Elders wanted nice guns and nice bullets. That's it, you know. That way, I imagine you could have nice wars. I don't know. If they would go with my plan, all of the people, all the liberals who are against private ownership of guns, they will not only want you to have guns, they will force everybody in the country to have a gun. My proposal is that we're going to take all the guns in the country and we're going to paint them either mauve or blue. We'll put them on a plaque over the couch and put a brass sign over that says, country welcome. Well, man, you pull the trigger, they won't even go bang. When you pull the trigger, they go. When people get killed, they won't scream. They go. Now, here's my idea. Here's where you can make $1 million. And if you make $1 million, when you make it, will you remember me? I'm gonna give you an idea. Go down to the to Kmart, Walmart, wherever you wanna go. Buy a squirt gun or a cap gun that looks real. You know, like 45 or 9mm, something like that. Paint it mauve or blue. Mount it on a wooden plaque, get a brass plate, and put country welcome. And if Knoxville ever has a gun show, you get a bunch of those, go to the gun show, I'll bet you'll sell everyone you make for $25. I'll bet you. You go down to the gun show, hey, man, those gun nuts, hey, that's cool, man. I'm going to take one of those. My wife likes mauve and blue. She'll like that. We'll put that in the den. You know why? Because all of a sudden the gun became what? Cute. And we chase every fashion there is. Now look, ladies, honest, I know I'm working you over. But you know what they told me? They told me, you know, you let a woman do what she wants in the house, that's her nest. You know what? I misunderstood. I thought when they said nest, they were talking bird. They're talking pack rat. Now you mark this down. There was a time when you looked at your living room, ladies, and you said, is it clean? Is it comfortable? I mean, you looked at your living room and you made sure all the, you know, the tables were dusted and the chairs were, you know, you can always tell. You can always tell when there's a TV in the house. Just look at the living room furniture and where it's pointed. That's true. If you don't have a TV, it's to the center of the room where you can sit in the living room and talk. And if you have a TV, it's all angled to the TV so you can be entertained. But what you used to do, ladies, is, and I'm not against, I've never said you got to live in a tar paper shack with dirt floors and wear burlap. Hey, get all your the porcelain birdies you want. But you just don't need to spend $250 for them, all right? But here's what's happened. You used to walk out of your living room and you look back at it and you said, is it clean? Is it neat? Is it orderly? Now you know what you do? You mark it down. Tell me how many times you've done this. You look back at it and say, does it look like a picture I saw in a magazine? Do I have the fake flowers right? Do I have the magazines that I don't even read? Victorian and Renaissance and Country Living. Do I have all the magazines laying one on top of the other so they look nice? I mean, I want to go on those and just go, hey, nice magazine. Hey, let's do that. You know what? You don't want a living mirror anymore. You want a picture out of a magazine. You know why? You got stuck right here.
Amen.
And you are spending too much time thinking about fashion. All right? Okay, I'll move on. Get my eyes scratched out here in a minute. Let's try this one. Heaven. All right, heaven. Is it true? No doubt. Is it honest? Yes, it is. Is it just? Without a doubt. Is it pure? Even after we get there, which is going to be the miracle. Is it lovely? Yes, it is. Is it of good report? Yes, it is. Is there virtue there? Yes, there is. Is there praise there? Yes, there is. Why don't you think on that?
Amen.
Instead of thinking about where America's going to be in about another 5 or 10 years, if we carry it, I know what you're going to say. Well, we're not going to be here 10 years from now. You didn't think we'd be here 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I doubt there's a person here that believed we would be here in 1997. So we could, if you've been wrong before, you could be wrong again, all right? You'd be wrong by 10 years, you'd be wrong by 20. And the whole thing may not fold up around our ears. 10 years from now, it may be just like it is, price of gas about 3 times what it is, and mass transit a big deal, and that's about it. What I'm saying is this, quit worrying about where America's going and think about where you're going. Now, you got to be honest about heaven. You know what the problem with heaven is? You ever try to explain heaven to a kid and try to make it sound like someplace they'd want to go? I mean, think about it. Kid comes up and says, Daddy, if I get saved, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, right? Yes. Will I have a dog in heaven? No, you won't have a dog in heaven. Oh. Will there be toys in heaven? Well, I don't think there won't be any toys in heaven. Oh, will we get to play in heaven? Well, no, I don't know that we're going to, play in heaven. Daddy, why do I want to go? Tell me about hell. You know why you can't make heaven sound good? Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because to like heaven, he's going to have to change us before we get there. I mean, what are you going to do if your son says this? What are we going to do when we get there? Just sit around and play harps? Well, there's a chance. You see, folks, you know what you think of as a good time? Sit by the pool, sip iced tea, watch a football game. And when you think about heaven and all the things that you like here that are not there, it's kind of hard to actually get excited about it. You get more excited when you talk about heaven. You're actually more excited about the fact that you're not going to hell. Now, that's what you're excited about. And that the Lord is there. But when you think about heaven, you say, there's some things there that maybe I want a dog. So you know what you have to realize? You have to realize that when you get there, he's going to make us different. I tell my son this, when they ask me about heaven, when they're little, I said this. I said, do you know how you feel when you get a new toy? That excitement, that good feeling you have? He said, yeah. I said, that's what you'll have in heaven all the time. See, you've got to understand, you've got to get across to them the feeling they'll have in heaven. You can't describe it and make it sound exciting. I'm sorry, man. What are you going to do, tell them about streets of gold? They can't even pick up the gravel. What I'm telling you is, but this is what you need to dwell on. Say, what do you mean dwell on? Try this. You saved? All right. 100 years from that right now, that's where you're going to be. Isn't that right? Maybe. I don't think so. But maybe we'll still be around 50 years from now, and some of you will still be here. But I doubt anybody in this room is going to live another 100 years. Maybe some of these little kids, I really don't think anybody's going to live another 100 years, which means, let's just say the Lord does not come back for 200 years. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Let's just say that he doesn't come back for 200 years. It doesn't matter, because 100 years from now, we're all going to be in heaven, right? Why don't you spend some time thinking about it? Now think about this, and really, you need to think about this. If you could live to be 100 years from now, you're going to be in your eternity, right? And 1,000 years from now, you're going to be in your eternity. And 5,000 years from right now, you are going to be somewhere in heaven, in glory, for eternity, right? Now, When you step into heaven, everything you have waiting for you is what you earned during what? 60 or 70 or 80 years here? You know what some of you want to do? You want to make this heaven. You want to party now. You want to make this one big theme park. You want to lay back. I like what one preacher told me. He said, "Preacher, the devil gave us TV, but God gave us the remote." You heard where two fellows were talking out at work, and they said, "Hey, did you hear about Bill? He said he bought him a remote for his TV." The other guy said, "Yeah, that'll be the day. I'm too lazy to tell my wife or daughter to get her across that room and change the station." You see, you want to just lay back and have them just keep filling up the glass of iced tea and fill up the popcorn bowl when you're done and watch Tennessee win all the time.
Yeah,
don't you understand? You might do that and enter heaven in poverty. Because when you're in heaven 100 years from tonight, what you've got during the time you were here. Now think about it, man. You've only got 50 or 60 years. Some of you got less than that. Some of you only got about 20. Some of you got about another 20 years. You've only got a few more years left to decide what you've got when you get there. People, that's something to think on, all right? Not this junk. Not this junk. Not this. This is not where you want to spend your time thinking on. I didn't say pretend it doesn't exist. Everybody knows those things exist. I said think on it. I said sit around at your desk when you're at work. Man, you don't sit there and wring your hands, worry about this junk. Think about this. You want to wring your hands about something, what have you got waiting for you?
Yeah.
I mean, what if you ain't got 20 years? What if you got another 20 minutes?
Yeah.
What if you got another 20 days? I mean, I'm up in Michigan. I get a call from a preacher, and he said, my dad, and his dad lived about two blocks from the church I was preaching in. He said, my dad's got brain cancer. So they just found out. I managed to see his father. My meeting ended on Wednesday night. I got over to his dad's house Wednesday morning. He wasn't there. I said, I left a note out. And I know his dad's a saved man. And I got over to the house Wednesday night before the service. And I went and saw him. Now, they just found out about the brain cancer, and they're going to start the chemotherapy and things like that. And he said, the doctor told me I've got about 6 months if I don't take chemo, and I've got a year with it. I see him on Wednesday night. And I talked with him, and I talked with his wife, both saved, and prayed with him, and I left. And Monday, he's dead. They told him you have a year. They told me you have 6 months with nothing. I mean, the guy didn't go 4 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay, Monday, bang. So what happened? He went in Monday for chemo. The chemo threw his sugar off. He's diabetic. His heart just literally stopped. You may not have another 20 days to decide what you've got here. Don't you know a bunch of people are going to get here and realize they've wasted a bunch of time here? I mean, you want to think about something, think about that. Think about what you got waiting for you. What are you sending on ahead? He said, don't leave your treasures down here where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He said, send them on ahead. Try this one. Sports. Yeah, okay, I'll move on to the next one. Never mind. All right, sports. Is it true? Well, of course it's true. Is it honest? See, even when you like it, you got to be honest, don't you? I told you. I saw that. I knew this guy. He thought professional wrestling was real. Man, I'm telling you. They fed him. You know how they fed him? They slid his food. They slid his food under the door in a stainless steel tray. They never let him have a fork or a knife. I mean, that's what you ought to do if you think professional wrestling's true. But now boxing, at least boxing's real. Boxing is real. There's probably no... Okay. Oh, no. Football. Man, listen. Don't talk to me about Tennessee. I'm from Massillon, Ohio. That's where pro football started. Our high school football stadium seats 26,000 people in a town of 33,000 people. That's true. The town's only 33,000 people. Our football stadium seats 26,000 people. We fill it up regularly. We like football. There's nothing wrong with liking football. Don't think on it. Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Now, you got to admit, some of those hits. You know, I always like the slow motion ones where the guy is catching the pass right here and you see the freight train catch him right. You can almost hear the ribs crack. And, you know, the guy kind of does one of these and it's really good in slow motion. And then you hear him go, I heard one of them defensive ends, Elvis Butkus or one of them guys, Joe, and they asked him, they said, how do you know when you really hit the guy right? And he says, when you're getting up off the pile and you hear him down and he goes, Mom. I said, yeah, that's a good one, man. I mean, Mom, they're hurting me. Is it of good report? Is there virtue? Is there praise? Well, not heavenly praise. You can say there's praise. Good night, man. They make a big deal out of Rodney Yellowhead, what his name is. What is it? Rodman. Yeah. And I tell people, Rodman is a better man than some Christians. At least he'll take a stand for what he believes. That's right. Listen, man, you sit here right now, you wouldn't spit on him to put him out. He's on fire. I mean, you have no respect for him. You have no use for him. You know what? He knows you don't like him, and he don't even care. He does things that he knows will make you hate him. And you won't do anything for Christ to make somebody dislike you. Give the guy a break. He's got more guts than a lot of Christians. I didn't say virtue, I said more guts. Good night, that Ellen pervert has more guts than some Christian men. What I'm saying is this, people. I know you like sports. Ladies, I'm going to give you a break now. I ripped on you and your house. This is where they got our men. See, they got you ladies, you Christian ladies, they got you preoccupied with your house. They got you Christian men preoccupied with sports. Say how much? So much so that now they got two ESPN stations. I mean, man, now they got Olympic crocheting. I mean, have you ever watched it? You just watch it, man. I mean, they just, anything is a sport, you know. I mean, now, you know, riding a bike is a sport, and riding a skateboard is a sport. And you know, they got closet football. I mean, they got football they play. I like football, man. They got arena football. They got world football. They got the NFL. They got the NFL. I mean, they got two guys banging out in the closet. I mean, it's all, oh, man, this is great stuff. You're hearing, I mean, it's, you know, the Philadelphia Golf Balls football game. I don't know what it's called. They run out of names. They run out of ways to play it. You guys sit there and drool over that TV all day long. You know, 100 years ago in this country, yeah. If two men had a problem, well, about 200 years ago, one of them smacked the other in the mouth and said, I'll see you at sunrise. And they walked off 10 paces, turned around, fired, and it was over. Well, another 100 years, that degenerated to, I'll meet you in the street at high noon. And they went out, and they finished it off. Well, then it degenerated to the place where it's just, if you didn't like anybody, you just punched it out. And I mean, one guy walked away from the other. Then in my generation, it degenerated to where my car's faster than your car. And so you took them out on a two-lane highway somewhere where somebody had marked two white lines a quarter mile apart, and you either blew the doors off somebody or they blew the doors off you. Now it's degenerated, men, to where my football team's better than your football team. We've lost our manhood. Good night, man. How much sports you need? All right, so you like Tennessee, like Tennessee. You like a pro team, like a pro team. But if all you do is think on it, you really worried? You really worried? Hey, I watch Ohio State. That's my state. And I happen to think they're a pretty good team, all right? You say, how good are they going to do next year? I don't know. How good do you want them to do? Oh, one win all of them. But I'll tell you what, if they lose the first 9 games of the season, I probably won't even know about it. We never see them. In Ohio, we shipped the entire Cleveland Browns team out of the state just to get rid of the owner. They say, well, they're going to give Cleveland back another team? I hope. And if they do, I won't watch them much either. You want them to win? I want them to win every game, sure. But I'm not going to sit down and go, well, you know, now if they beat Cincinnati next week, but then Pittsburgh is going to have to lose to Philadelphia, to Houston, and then if Cleveland, what are you doing? What are you spending your time thinking on these things?
Amen.
A bunch of grown men. A bunch of grown men. I'm going to spend $500 to go to golf clinic. To do what? Learn how to hit the ball? No, I'm not knocking golf. I play golf. My son graduated from Bible college. Me and John and Nathan went and played golf. They're still reporting it in that area. There were times when I hit the ball, it even landed on the fairway I was playing on. Other times, I would join a whole different foursome. I'm serious. There are these four guys, and they're out there going, hey, is this? And the guy goes, oh, no. And I went, mine. I said, well, what are you doing on this hole? I'm not. I'm on that one over there. Listen, golf shoes for me are hiking boots. Somebody said, they don't mow where I play golf. Listen, man, now that they not mow, they still harvest corn where I play golf. I mean, but it was fun. Other than giving one of the marshals, you know, the little guy in his little cart, other than giving him, you know, a cardiac arrest, we had a nice time. I told my son John, I said, the only guy I know, you can drive a ball off the first tee 525 yards, and it ends up 25 feet away from you over here. We hook. He goes, we filled up an entire pond with golf balls. I hit my ball into this bunch of brush. I went and I came out four balls. None of them were mine. I said, my goodness, they're reproducing. We have fun. We're going to make it a family tradition. The only obligation is no one will let us play at their course two times. But you're going to spend $10,000 to be a member of the country club? But you're going to spend... And now look, listen, some of you guys, you get away and you have a round of golf, 9 holes, 18 holes, and it's get your mind off what you do. That's a good thing. All right, I'm not telling you don't play. But when you get to where you're thinking about it all the time, and where you can't lose, I won't play golf with good golfers. Because I will ruin their day, I really will. I have guys all the time, say, hey, you want to golf? I said, do you like to golf? And they say, yeah, I love to golf. I said, I won't golf with you. I'm serious. You say, why? Because I like them. Because, man, listen, for me, it's a walk in the woods. For them, they stay there where it's all mowed. There's no adventure in that. I hit it through the sprinklers while they're on. People, men, you spend your time on this. Baseball, I'd rather watch a nosebleed. There's some action there. I mean, even a home run is boring, really. Okay. And what are you going to do? Watch soccer? I mean, a bunch of guys wearing shorts playing kickball. You're going to watch that? You know what, guys? Listen, you got all caught up with this stuff. You worry about, you know, who's going to get the first round draft choice and well, is so-and-so going to play on that pro team or that pro team? Guys, think on these things. It doesn't qualify. And look at who gets the praise. The Rodmans. What's the little blonde girl that had the girl hit with a pipe? The skater. Tanya Harding. Oh, yeah, there's a virtuous soul. Yeah, going to go into mud wrestling, I heard. She probably have her pipe. People. There's no virtue in this. They're not, all I'm saying, man, listen. You want to go bowling? Go bowling. Good night. When I was a kid, you know, if you wanted to do something, you went bowling, and if you were a fanatic, you bought your own ball. Now, you can't ride a bike without the right equipment. My goodness, you got to have shiny britches. You got to have gloves to ride a bike. You got to have gloves? You got to have a helmet? I hope you fall on your head so you didn't waste the time buying and waste the money making the purchase. You got to have shoes. I saw a guy get off his bike, and he's walking like this. I said, man, the guy's been on that bike too long. No, it was his bike shoes and his water bottle. This guy spends $1,000 before he can get on a bike, and then he's got to have the bike. One that's made out of a melted down nuclear missile from Russia. That's the truth. They're using a titanium, this is a peace bike. They melt down a nuclear warhead and use a titanium to make a bike frame, and I'm peddling to peace. Unless it's just before Clinton goes up for re-election or Gore if he gets in, then it's all of a sudden it's going to be good. And here's why. Because the people that write the news despise this nation. And they do not want to say anything good about this nation. So here's how I've got this. I'm going to try to get this thing straight. If the economy starts going good, you know what they'll tell you? Oh, inflation. Yeah, inflation is on the rise because the economy is real good. Oh, well, the economy needs to get bad. So the economy starts slowing down. They go, there goes our balance of trade. So don't you understand that on either side of the equation, there's something bad they can report, and they will always report the bad. Those guys are paid to do that. They are trained to do that. I am telling you that every journalist in this country, when they sit down to write a story, be it in print, going out over the radio, going out over television, when they sit down, they say, how can I spin this bad? I don't know if I told you this or not. I told somebody. I'll tell you if I told you, you need it again anyway. I heard a radio report. They said this. Americans are eating more fish. That means they're going to be healthier. Fish is good for you. And as I heard them say those words, I said, how are they going to spin this bad? They got to spin it bad. I have confidence in the news media. And they never let me down. And I said, they just said that Americans are eating more fish. Fish is good for you. That's going to be good for American health. I said, how are they going to spin it bad? You know how they said it? They said, of course, the American fishing industry can't provide enough fish for all the increased demand, so we'll have to import it, which is going to hurt our balance of trade. You know what I told your pastor today? See, I think McVeigh blew the bomb off. I think McVeigh blew it off. I think there might have been some people he didn't even know about in on it, but I think McVeigh, you know, parked the truck and blew it up. You know what he proved when he did that? He proved he's smart enough to make a bomb and too stupid to know where to blow it up. Now, I'm not advocating anybody do this, but if the guy was going to blow up a bomb, he should have parked it right in front, get in the parking garage of the CNN tower. Light it off there. Don't kill a bunch of innocent kids in a daycare center, man. Listen, you'd have a hard time killing an innocent person at CNN. Now, I'm not saying, don't go out there, you know, and open fire and say, oh, good, son, I couldn't find an innocent person. You know. I'm saying, if the guy's going to blow up a truck full of fertilizer bombs, I mean, if he's going to do it anyway, what? Come on. The hotbed of liberalism, Oklahoma City. You know, Oklahoma City, the liberal capital of the world. I mean, Oklahoma City, you ever been there? Their big thing is a U-Haul truck up on top of a building going around a circle. I've seen it. That's their big deal. That's a hotbed of liberalism. Yeah, we're going to clean up Oklahoma City. And when we're done with them, Omaha. People, you think about the economy. You ain't worried about the economy. You're worried about the toys you want.
Amen.
We're an affluent nation. And if you were honest, you would tell the truth. The truth is, you got more than you can eat in your house in one day. You got more clothes than you can wear. And that book says, with food and raiment, be content. Everything you can't eat or wear is an option. It's a luxury.
Amen.
And you know, when you ask a Baptist, never ask a Baptist, you know, how are you doing? Oh, well, the kids, they ate once this month, and I think they might be able to eat twice. You never hear a Baptist say, we got enough. My goodness, you'd never dare say you're doing all right. We think, listen, we got a conviction against doing all right. It is a conviction. If you're doing all right, you must not be right with God. Now, I'm going to tell you why you're not doing all right. What you're saving money for is a toy. Most of what you need, you have. So now you're saving money. And like I said, man, used to be a what? An $80 bowling ball. Now it's a $5,000 jet ski. It's a $7,000 four-wheeler. So it can sit in your garage all year long, and you can use it 2 weeks in the summer. And here's the problem. It's $7,000 and all you got in the bank is $6,000. So if somebody says you got any money, you say no. Because you know why? Because you need $1,000 before you have nothing. And then you hear the economy's not going to do too good, and all you're worried about is when you get to play. People, don't think on this. Say, well, what if it all goes down tomorrow? Do you want to know the truth? If this whole thing goes down to slammers tomorrow, you know what you all ought to say? It's been pretty good up to that point, wasn't it? I'll tell you something, man. The preacher took us over to the, what is that called? Great American Steak Buffet. Animal carnage. Oh, it's a wonderful place. Animals die regularly. I said, I like it where I see stacks of pork chops. You know what I'm telling you? If this whole thing goes down tomorrow and I never touch another piece, never get another steak, well, I've had a bunch to this point. Haven't you? Haven't you sat down to good T-bone sometime? Good porterhouse? Good ribeye? Haven't you sat down to some good meals and had some good times? Haven't you taken your family someplace and enjoyed yourself? What I'm saying, people, is if the whole thing falls apart tomorrow, instead of whining and crying, saying, oh, news is going to happen. Yeah, but you've been worried about it for 25 years. Look at all that worry you did for nothing. You know what you ought to say? Boy, I'll tell you what. It looks pretty bad from here on, but man, did we have it good up to this point. You know, they ever put us in them concentration camps, we're going to have some old times to talk about, ain't we? I'll tell you what. I mean, we're going to start talking about what we've done, how well we've eaten. Man, we'll eat the talk and get fat. Don't think on this. Try this one. Here you go. Taxes. Are they true? Are they honest? Are they just, are you kidding? Pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. But they're real. But are you going to worry about them? You know what I tell people to do? Pay them. Pay them. I got some of my brethren. They're preaching the gospel of don't pay your taxes. I had a brother call me. I hadn't talked to him in 25 years. A guy I went to Bible college with. Hadn't talked to him in 25 years, or about 20 years at that time. Spent 2 hours and 45 minutes talking to me over the phone, telling me why I shouldn't pay my income tax. You know what he said? He said, do you know that income tax is voluntary compliance? You don't have to pay it. It's voluntary compliance. I said, I'm a volunteer. Can I volunteer? I'm a volunteer. That'll make Clinton happy. He said, I'm the government. It's the government of the people. And he said, I'm the government. I don't want your money. I said, then give back what I've been paying you for the last 20 years. Suddenly he wasn't the government anymore. Then he told me this. He said, I know where I went bad with my boys. Now look, I got three boys. I'm a father. I want to know where not to go bad, you know, where to go bad, where not to. I said, where? I mean, I want to know. What did he do? Did he give them something early on and they got too affluent? Did he allow them to have too much? What did he do? I said, what did you do? He said, I got them birth certificates. Doomed to a life of crime. I mean, I can just see his kids growing up. I mean, shooting their way out of a liquor store, kill everybody in the place. So they rob it. When they pick them up, say, and where did this start, boy? It started when my dad got me a birth certificate. You start worrying about this kind of stuff, you'll go nuts. Now, you better understand a great truth. And it goes with all of these things. You know what that great truth is? Listen, you know when you go to college, you know what you do? You have a subject in which you major. Then you have another subject. You take a lot of subjects, a lot of studies about it, but it is never another major. You never have two majors. You have a major and a minor. You understand? You know why you have a major and a minor? Because you cannot major on two subjects. If sports becomes your major, you won't give a flip about heaven.
Amen.
Why don't you tell the truth? You're going there, and listen, you've already got your ticket, and it's punched, and you know where the fire escape is, and you've already taken it, and you couldn't care less, and you major on sports, you will minor on heaven. You major on the economy, you major on taxes, you major on this stuff. You know what it becomes? It becomes another gospel. I mean, this guy, if he was here, you could be introduced to him for the first time in your life. He wouldn't be talking 30 seconds. Nah, I'll give him 60. 60 seconds in, and he'd be talking about taxes. I mean, you could say, boy, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Yeah, you know, speaking of beautiful day, you know what they're doing with the income tax? We're talking about the day. It all goes to taxes. Why? That's his major. Now, what's your major? Is your major up here? We worry about war or politics or fashion or sports or economy or taxes. I mean, people, you can only major in one thing. Why don't you try majoring in this? The Bible. Let me ask you a question. Is it true? Is it honest? Man, listen. That book hadn't always told you what you wanted to hear, but always told you the truth, didn't it?
Amen.
You know why I appreciate the Bible? Not because of all the good things it's told me. I appreciate it for some of the bad things it's told me.
Yeah.
Listen, I tell people, you know, you can come to that book with a broken heart and tears streaming down your face, and it'll dry your tears and mend your heart. I'll tell you what else you can do. You can go into this book, and everything will be just fine. And it's like walking through a doorway into a dark room and have somebody kick you in the stomach. I have opened up my Bible and I thought everything was fine, and that book kicked me in the stomach and bent me over. You know why? Because I opened it up and I ran into Sam Gift. I ran into a verse where I found myself and I said, oh dear God. And I came away from it crying. But it always told me the truth. Is it just yes? Oh, is it pure? Mine is. Is it lovely? Man. It is lovely. It is fairer than a spring morning. Listen, that book is lovely. Is it of good report? Yes, it is. Is there virtue in it? Man, there sure is. Is there praise? Yes. Why don't you make that your major? You know, you get these guys, I was talking with your pastor, you know, and you get these guys, they say, well, we'll make an issue out of the Bible. No kidding. You'll make an issue out of something out of the Bible, and won't make an issue out of the Bible you got something out of.
Amen.
Look, man, if you want to have a conviction about not eating where they serve booze, have it. But if you have it, you better make an issue out of the book.
Amen.
If you're going to make an issue out of how your wife ought to dress, then make it. But don't make an issue out of how the way your wife and women ought to dress and not make an issue out of the book you said you got that issue out of. And I like these guys, you know. You start talking to them, and they're King James.
Ugh.
I call them me-tours.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Gibb, I believe the King James Bible, too.
And then you talk to them about the book. They say, well, you know, we don't want to overstress that. I said, really? Well, let's not talk about the blood of Christ, either. You know, we don't want to overstress that. Let's not talk about the virgin birth and the death of the cross for the sins of all mankind. I mean, we don't want to make an issue out of this. We don't want to overstress it. And all of a sudden, you see how unreasonable it is? Why don't you spend some time on this? See, you can't major in this and this. You can learn some stuff about taxes. You can learn some stuff about the economy and sports. People, you're going to major in something, and you're going to minor in something else. What I'm telling you is you're going to spend your time worrying about something. You're going to spend your time. See, the book didn't say worry. It said think on, but that's what worry is. You just think on, look at some of the things you've worried about. How many of you have ever found yourself, I mean distraught, I'm not talking about just a little upset. I'm talking about there's been times since you've been saved, you were distraught about something that you were sure was going to happen, and then that thing came and passed and never happened. Let me see your hands. Come on, hold them up. Be honest. Yeah, I'll let it go. Now, you see how wrong you were? Man, you know what I was worried about? I heard it in 1970. I heard that by July 4th, 1976, The communists were going to have taken over the country, and they're going to haul down the American flag off of in Philadelphia, off Constitution Square, and run the hammer and sickle up. I heard that in 1970, worried me for 6 years. I mean, the closer I got to July 4th, 1976, the more upset I got, the more worried I got, and July 4th, 1976 came and went. They said, well, no nation's ever lasted 200 years. This one has. Oh, well. You know what you worry about? This is going to happen, and this, I'm going to worry about this. Why don't you quit worrying about it? Why don't you quit spending your time on it? You know what I really believe? Now, I'm going to tell you what I really believe. I really believe if you think on Him and think on here and think on this, that if some of these things that you're concerned about happen, I think He'll take care of you. That's really what I think. I think we're in the Jeremiah days. I think we may see the end of our country. I said, I think we may. We may not see the end of our country. But we may see the end of our country. You know how to get ready for the end of your country? Grab God by the leg and hang on. You get as close to God as you can. You know why? Because Jeremiah stood there flat-footed and watched his entire nation fold up around him. And when it was all over, Nebuzaradan said, hey, pal, here's some clothing. Here's a reward. You go where you want. I'm taking all these guys captivity. You go back and go any place you want. You told them it was going to happen. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
I mean, if he had been worried about all these things, he'd never made it through. He ignored all those. He did not think on these things. He thought on him, on here, on this. And when all that stuff fell down around him, the Lord took care of him. Now, you're going to spend your time thinking about something. Come on, really. You're going to worry. You're going to worry about some soap opera. You're going to cry because some bozo dies in a movie. He died five times in five different movies. You're going to worry about that junk? You're going to worry about, is so-and-so going to marry so-and-so, and are they going to do this? I don't care. You know, talking right now, I saw in the paper, they're talking about the nation needs to apologize to the blacks for slavery. There ain't a person alive today that ever was a slave, there ain't a person alive today that ever owned one. Say, what if they apologize? I don't care. I really don't care. I'm not going to think on it. So what are you going to do if they apologize? Then the next black guy comes up and gripes them and says, hey, man, you got your apology. Shut up. Right? I mean, I'm going to win. I'm going to win if we don't apologize. I'm going to win if we do. Don't bother me. You think I'm going to think on that all day long? Oh, you know what that is. It's just wrong. Well, I know it's wrong. It's just unjust. I know. That's what I'm not thinking on. I know about it. I'm not going to put my head in a hole in the sand and ignore that, pretend it does not exist. I said I'm not going to think about it. What do you spend your time thinking about? What are you worried about? What's eating you up? See, you're going to worry about something anyway. This is a Christian guide to worry. You know what you can do? You take this home and erase any of these you want. And put in anything you want. Then check them off. And if you can't get the X's all the way across, don't think on these things. But he says here in chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You're allowed to think on some things as long as they qualify. If they don't qualify, don't think about it. See, when it worries me, then quit letting it worry you. Don't worry about it. Well, yeah, but it just really concerns me. I know. Quit thinking about it. Well, how do I quit thinking about it? Think about something else. Say, what should I think about? Try him. Try here. Try this.